Hi, everyone. Welcome to Waste 360's Nothing Wasted podcast. On every episode, we invite the most interesting people in waste, recycling, and organics to sit down with us and chat candidly about their thoughts, their work, this unique industry, and so much more. So thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Liz Bothwell from Waste 360 with Matt Wampler, co-founder and CEO of ClearCogs. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Liz. Thanks for having me on.
So, Matt, we usually start at the beginning, so I'd love to hear about your journey and your path to starting ClearCogs.
Yeah. So ClearCogs helps restaurants reduce food waste. And I've got kind of a backwards way of getting into this. I started out actually in restaurants, you know, taking over my first restaurant when I was 22 and turning it around, ultimately growing that, and ended up somehow falling into data analytics later on in life. And it just struck me, wow, what a disparity between what restaurants have in terms of technological tools and what can be done out there. You know, if I could have gotten the hours I spent in the back of the house putting things in Excel back, that would have been incredible. And the guys with tech nowadays, that's just a few lines of code. And so we really got into, you know, restaurants and how can we help them with technological tools. And what we really found was food waste is a far bigger issue than we'd ever imagined. And that, you know, machine learning, AI, big data, cloud, all that kind of stuff has made it a solvable problem now, at least in the restaurant space.
Definitely. And I love how you recognize that. And now you're working toward helping to eliminate that. Now, I know that it says that on your website, ClearCogs focuses on building a more sustainable and profitable ecosystem. Can you just walk through what that exactly means?
Yeah. So look, profitability and sustainability, I think that most people look at them and say they're opposite things. You know, we don't look at it that way. In the restaurant world, being more efficient makes you more profitable. When you're more efficient, you're wasting less food and you're more sustainable. So, you know, what we really focus on is, you know, how can we leverage data to make your restaurant more efficient?
I love that. And can you talk a little bit about the technology behind it and what drives it?
Yeah, it's all of the machine learning stuff that's out there right now. So, you know, we basically take in transaction data, you know, every line item that or every button you hit on your POS system. And we're looking at your recipes and we're breaking everything down into, you know, individual ingredients that you're using. And then we're building proprietary machine learning models around those to forecast exactly what a restaurant is going to need in the future. And we call it making crystal balls. So we go build crystal balls for restaurants. And then we give those crystal balls to the restaurants and say, like, what are the problems you have? And how can we use our crystal ball to solve them? And the only thing I'd really add to that is in the restaurant world, there's so much going on. You know, everything's on fire. It's chaos. So you really have to, you know, giving more data to a restaurant is nice, but that's not what they need. They need the answers to the pivotal questions they have. Like, you know, how much chicken do I need at this moment? You know, they need clear answers. And so we spend a lot of time just distilling all of this information down to the 5 or 10 numbers that they need to run a more efficient business.
That makes sense. And what do you think is the most, or what place, I guess, in a restaurant is where most food is wasted?
So, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that this hasn't been addressed is every restaurant's different. They have different problems, different waste streams. I mean, you could look at a rotisserie chicken place that's roasting chickens all day. They've got a different waste stream than a pretzel factory that's just, you know, pumping out pretzels. And so it's really hard to say. I mean, we see the stuff that has really short shelf lives, you know, like that pretzel, you know, you make it, you wait for a customer. If they don't come in the next hour, it has to be thrown away. You know, That's a good example. Or, you know, I've prepped all this food. Think of the big make lines where you go in and build your own burrito and there's, you know, the chicken, everything's all cut up, right? At the end of the night, how much of that's getting thrown away? And how can that be managed better?
Absolutely. And are you at a place where you're able to quantify the amount of food waste you're helping to divert from landfills?
Yeah, we are. And what's funny in the restaurant world is nobody knows how much they're wasting. I mean, we go in and we talk to, you know, multi-billion dollar companies and they're like, all right, so first and foremost, we actually don't know how much we're wasting and we don't know why we're wasting it. We're like, look, we get it. That's you know, par for the course. So we focus on the very end of the supply chain. So that's that over-prepped waste. So like, you know, if I've got, let's say, frozen breadsticks, you know, they're fine all the way through the supply chain. But the moment I bake them, they've got a really short shelf life. So that's really where we focus. And in that over-prep waste, we can statistically reduce waste by up to like 85%. Now, in the restaurant world, that doesn't ever really work out because, you know, it's operations, you've got people, you know, it's chaos. But we see over 50%.
Wow, that's awesome. And I'm sure with your tracking and all the data capabilities, eventually you might be able to help in that area to measure that better.
Yeah. And, you know, what's really funny about it is in the industry, everyone plays it by feel for the most part. You know, they have an idea what their sales are going to be, but it's really like, hey, things are getting busy. Let's prep some more of this or prep some more of that. You know, what we really do is empower our clients and give them the tools to make data-driven decisions. And I know that sounds like a lot of jargon, but basically we allow them to set things where they say like, look, I'm okay with running out of chicken once every 3 months. And my average waste each day is going to be $2. Or, you know, I'm okay with, you know, I never want to run out of chicken. Okay. Your average waste is going to be $8, and allow them to basically, you know, set that for their business.
Gotcha. Now, I know you were a franchise operator with Jimmy John's. Do you think that background helped you to build this product and this company?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And it comes from two places. One, it's meeting the customer where they are. So you can get the greatest machine learning AI people together, but unless they can translate that into, you know, terms that restaurants need, you're not going to see success. And we see a lot of people make that mistake. So, you know, having that background and, you know, focus of restaurants, I think it's really, really been an aid in all of this. And the second one was, you know, we worked with, you know, a lot of these restaurants early on, and my background in Jimmy John's does a great job managing their stuff. You know, it's a pretty lean concept. They don't really have much waste in comparison to a lot of other restaurants. So we really had to focus on how do we, in a cost-effective manner, manage their waste stream? Because we're talking about, you know, $10 a day. You know, if you're going and looking at, you know, diamonds or something like that, you know, you could spend a whole lot of money to solve the problem. But, you know, it forced us, coming from that mentality, to figure out how do you do this in a cost-effective manner?
Absolutely. And how's the rollout going? I think I read that you are in a couple of chains now.
Yeah, no, it's going great. And we're seeing a lot of success. And a large part of that has really come from, you know, the industry's changes. So, you know, with the pandemic, you've lost all these employees and that institutional knowledge, which was really how they managed a lot of this. So they're now looking for more standardized tools. You've got inflation coming, and then you've got a real leaning into sustainability. And you're seeing, you know, laws change like the one in California on, you know, mandatory composting. And it's really made it a priority in the industry. And that's been a big driver for us. And I'm actually curious, Liz, you know, what have your experiences been? What have you guys seen, you know, from those composting laws and some of these changes on the sustainability side?
Well, I think they're definitely drivers of behavior, of changing behavior. So I think that is a really good thing. And I mean, organics like this, like food waste and even yard trimmings,
they just wreak havoc on landfills. So even landfill operators and haulers, I think, would welcome this, right, to get it out of there, because not only does it not decompose well, but it also, you know, it emits emissions. So it's, you know, if we can reduce emissions that are generated from this organic matter and potentially use it for other things, electricity or fuel, then it's definitely a win-win. So I think legislation like this definitely helps, for sure, change behavior. And California is always so progressive, right? They're usually leading the way. So I think other states are looking to them to see how this rolls out, and the take rate and how well it does. So we are definitely watching it and covering it, for sure.
Yeah, you know, the emissions stuff was an eye opener for me. I think I read a stat not too long ago that emissions from food waste were greater than the airline industry. It was like, whoa, that takes me back a bit.
Oh, it's crazy. And that's what's so nice about your business model, is that even though it's a solid business model, it is going to do a lot of good. And I know you kind of stumbled upon that as a huge benefit, but it's great that you're doing that, because technology like this is the way. And if it can become sort of standard operating procedure in restaurants, it would be huge.
Yeah, you know, and I would say that one of the biggest benefits is we found a lot of people. And when I say people, I mean customers, I mean advocates, and I mean employees that are really drawn to working with us purely because they want to work on a problem that actually matters to people, you know, that actually matters to the planet. And, you know, there's something about having a sense of purpose and mission that you really care about that really drives movement.
Oh, it really does. And I think customers are demanding it. I mean, we see it in other areas as well. So I think it's great.
What are some of the challenges to some of these laws, you know, with, you know, composting? Is it something that you see as inevitable, that, you know, we're all going to be doing composting and tracking our waste a lot better? Or is this something that, you know, there's some real issues that have to get worked out?
There's some real issues that have to be worked out. Like, for example, infrastructure, for sure. Like, for example, New Jersey is also pretty progressive in this area around composting. And in order to meet demand and really divert the organics, they have to build more facilities that can handle it. So there's a lot that goes into it. And then you have to think about, you know, the other implications, right, of how far do you have to haul the material to get it away from a certain facility to go to another? And then are the environmental implications of that, are they better or worse? There's just so much to consider, but I'm confident that there's so many smart people working on this and trying to implement this, and places like California and New Jersey are really out in front of this. So I think if we all kind of watch that, they could pretty much build a good system for us to model elsewhere.
I half wonder if, you know, in 5 years from now, you know, the recycling service provides me with a big recycling bin. If they don't provide me with a composting bin for my backyard.
Oh, they probably will. That's what's happening in California. They're providing that. And it's interesting too, in my town, we Waste 360 and Waste Expo, the brand, just launched a TikTok. So I went to tour my transfer facility, and it is just a transfer facility. So they're not doing any processing or anything there, but my town has composting. So they will take your food scraps. So you have two options. You can either for free collect them yourselves, you know, go spend $30 on the bin, the little composting pail, and take it there. And it gets picked up twice a week there, or you can have a service come to your house and pick it up and make it super easy, kind of like you would for your, you know, your garbage. So it's just interesting that I think it's becoming much more available to people and more mainstream. So to your point, I think we will get there.
You know, it's funny. I talk with a lot of people about food waste and, you know, solutions for it. And when I look at the landscape of food waste, what is something like 40% of food gets wasted? It's a huge number.
Huge.
You know, a lot of these changes require big social, you know, cultural changes to actually, you know, get accomplished. And there are so few practical ways to actually reduce the food waste. I'm sure there's many, but, you know, like that's one of the reasons we loved the restaurant thing, because, you know, like putting a composting bin in a restaurant, like that causes lots of issues. Changing portioning in restaurants, you know, that's now getting into, you know, what does my customer want, you know, my revenue model, all those kind of things. But there are a handful of really practical solutions like redistribution. You know, let us know what you have as leftovers and we'll pick it up and redistribute it to someone that needs it, you know, or even like what we do where we go in and, you know, how can we make your, you know, restaurant more efficient so there is less food waste? You know, it's such a complex problem to change society, but there are just a few practical things we can do.
No, absolutely. And we always say, you know, don't focus on perfection, focus on progress, because everybody can do their part. And like you said, this is such a complex issue, but there's so many eyeballs and brains on it now that from education to policy to facilities and everything in between, we're all sort of making moves to fix it. So it's challenging, it's going to be ongoing, and it's going to take a while, but progress is definitely being made. So we need to celebrate that.
Yeah, well, hey, inefficiency hurts everybody. It's hurting the producers of this, you know, it's hurting the landfills, it's hurting everybody in between. So like, it's a win for everybody. Everyone's best interest. I think we'll find a way to figure it out.
I think so too.
At least I'd like to think so. Who knows though?
No, we definitely will. And you know, we'll take the wins as we go.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny. I'm relatively new to the sustainability world. You know, I came from restaurants, and you know, that was I was head down in my four walls, and that's where I lived. And now that I'm in this world, it does feel like there's this big sea change that's going on right now. And mm-hmm. I often wonder whether that's really happening or it's just new on my radar. Am I just new to the area and now being exposed to it? Or is there really a change coming?
Oh, no, definitely a change coming. And it could be, too, that the pandemic put a spotlight on it as well. And it showed how many people in need weren't getting the food that they needed and how much waste was actually happening and how to kind of, you know, balance those things. In addition to all of us just being more aware of what we waste at home. I mean, I know that was eye-opening for me during the pandemic when it was like you were cooking every single meal and you really couldn't go out anymore and you really weren't getting Uber Eats or any other delivery service in, that I was so aware that, oh my gosh, every week I'm buying the same fruit and my kids aren't eating this, or 3 days later it looks like this. So I became smarter about my trips to the market and things like that. So I do think there is a sea change, and I think it's mainstream. I don't think it's just because now you're in it. I think sort of the masses see it too. So it's everywhere. Like, we're all aware of it. And sustainability is such a big priority. And as you know, once Wall Street starts to pay attention to something, you know, around sustainability, ESG, and everybody starts to pay attention and it trickles down. So even those of us who are guided by purpose or anything else, like you said, if sustainability and profitability can match up, and you almost need it to in order to have the change and have the focus that's necessary. So you're not wrong. It's definitely a sea change.
It certainly makes you more aware of your behavior. And yeah, I've tried everything with our kids, you know, get them to eat their broccoli and eat their food and don't open that. And once we started talking about food waste, like, hey, it's really bad for the planet to waste that. Somehow that's been what really resonates with them. It's like our new go-to line, like, you know, if you don't finish your broccoli, it's bad for the planet if we're throwing it away. They've totally bought it.
I love that. And it's such a great way to make them think about it. And kids are the answer, right? I mean, we always say that even with recycling education, if you can reach the children, they almost help teach the parents too, because, you know, there's been such a shift, right? This generation has, you know, is the only generation that was made with so much single use. products and plastics and everything else that, you know, it's almost like it was built to be thrown away. Now there's becoming a shift. There's a shift back to education and what that really means. And they're all interested in doing better. So I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I know you're primarily focused on restaurants right now, but do you see other applications for, say, like schools and universities or anywhere else that's serving food on a big level every day?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're all things that we are looking at in different ways of using computer vision to be monitoring how much they have and all of that. You know, we've primarily focused on restaurants because, look, that's my background. I'm very aware of the problem, and we have a great solution to that problem. You know, I see grocery stores have brought this kind of technology in and are really leveraging it with great success. And so I'd be shocked that we're not working with universities and cafeterias. If there are any schools out there that would like to eliminate their food waste, we are doing a program where we're doing pro bono work for, you know, local schools to help them manage their food.
Oh, that's great.
We have not actually done it with anybody yet, but it's been in our marketing plan for the last month.
Okay. So, all right. That's great.
Our official announcement of that program.
Okay, good. Well, keep us posted on that. I think that's a great idea, and I'm sure you will get takers.
I hope so. If anybody like to take us up on it, you can just schedule a call on our website.
Okay, awesome. Sounds good. So I know we spoke a little bit about how awareness of food waste rose during COVID and stuff, but it sounds like you almost, you know, your business really was born during COVID, or was it prior? Tell me a little bit about it.
We're one of the COVID businesses that you know, we're all remote. It's a brand new world out there. One of the things that has been of great benefit to us relating to COVID is we have really been able to assemble a lot of incredibly smart people throughout the country in terms of advisors and employees that, you know, the mentality of 20 years ago, like, who's in my hometown that can help me with this? It's been a big help for us.
Oh, that's great. Well, and I mean, you are a true entrepreneurial story. Do you have any advice to those entrepreneurs who are heading up tech in a legacy system like restaurants? I'm sure you had a lot to overcome.
Yeah, you know, and this is probably not restaurant related, but, you know, when I was in restaurants, you tended to have a small group. You know, like I talked to some other franchisees, you know, most of the time it was interfaced with my employees. It wasn't like I had a big social presence or anything like that. But since the pandemic and, you know, telework, I really spend, you know, an hour or two a day, you know, speaking with people like you, Liz, or, you know, just getting on the phone and meeting people. And the power of connection, and, you know, I hate the word networking, right? You know, meeting people, it's amazing how many things you probably have that you can offer them and that they can offer you. And it's just been, that'd be my biggest piece of advice, you know, get on some of these platforms where you can, you know, meet people that you didn't know that are from different areas or different countries, and, you know, get as much exposure as you can.
Oh, that's great advice. And like you said, I think that's timeless in any industry.
10 years ago, Liz, would we have ever met and had this conversation? I mean, like, it's such a new world.
It really is. And it's great. And it's, I just think there's just so much that has come from it, and so much more that we can all do in the future together. And like you said, it's all about connections. And networking is sometimes a dirty word, but hey, if people understand it, it makes sense. And it's a win-win for everyone. I mean, you know, I feel like you're altruistic. Like, as soon as we got on the call, you wanted to learn about me, right? I'm here to learn about you and your business, but right away you wanted to learn about me. That's a big quality. That's a huge quality to have and be genuine in that.
My wife's beat it into me over the years.
Smart woman.
and effective. You know, since we're on the subject of food waste, you know, I'm curious what is out there right now, or what's coming down the pipe that I might not be aware of, or, you know, your listeners might not be aware of.
Well, I think there's a lot of solutions out there that are coming, you know, technology like yours that I think will be helpful in different areas. So I think that's a huge piece of it. We saw a lot of that at the Food Recovery Forum conference that it's co-located with Waste Expo. And we just had a big conference in Vegas. And we had a bunch of app providers and other people who were talking about solving the problem. We also have academics and all the way, you know, who are helping to create policy and education and then take it all the way out to the brands and the people who are actually executing. So there, I think there's so much on the horizon, whether it's policy or technology and innovation to help with this, that I think it'll be great. And even, you know, what can be done with the food waste once it's diverted? You know, there's all sorts of things that are happening with anaerobic digestion and using the food waste for energy. And there's so much more investment going on in that sector because the model does work and continues to work. So I think if we watch that, there's a lot that is coming down the pike, and it will be helpful because, you know, it's one thing to set policy and have people follow it, but what businesses are born out of that? So I think that I'm watching the infrastructure change, which is great in a lot of ways for the economy too, right? Because you're creating jobs and other things. So I think if we watch California and New Jersey to see how it rolls out in all of those areas, I think we'll be worlds ahead in other states and municipalities.
You know, one of the things that I find really encouraging and exciting is like Just Salads released, you know, reusable bowls with great success. Sandra does a great job over there. And like the fact that, you know, that has caught on, not only are people using it, but they're celebrating it. I mean, yeah. I think that's a huge opportunity as long as customers are embracing it. And it sure looks like they are.
Oh, it sure does. And we had Sandra actually at Waste Expo at our sustainability talks part of the conference. And she was talking about carbon labeling and, you know, how new that is right now and how that will be helpful on food labels. And how do we define that? And where will we be in a year? So I will send you that recording so you can watch because she's amazing.
And just a great person.
Yeah, she seems like it. And one of our 40 under 40 winners, Kristen Kinder, was on it with her. And just those two going back and forth and another gentleman who you might know as well. So I'll send you that recording. But it was fascinating to listen to them talk about carbon labeling, because that's a next step for food waste and food labeling as well, because it's increasing the awareness of it. And it, again, hard to do, but it'll be done. Everyone thought nutritional labels were hard to do at once too. So,
you know, so we deal with a lot of software companies. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is, you know, they're moving to a really centralized recipe databases that quantify all the calories and allergens. And one of the things that they're moving towards is also the carbon footprint of those items. So that when you're bringing in flour, right, you know, it's got its own, you know, per ounce carbon footprints. And so when I'm making a cake, it's taking all those ingredients in to quantify them. So I don't know where that goes. I'm not sure what they do with that, but I do see the data infrastructure being set up in a way that tracking carbon may end up being a lot easier down the road.
Uh-huh. That's great. Hey, maybe you'll have something to do with that, Matt.
Yeah, I think we're going to stay in our, we love the predictive modeling machine side of things. We'll let the recipe guys do the recipes. And you know, what we see in the restaurant industry is they've had good enough software forever, where guys like me would go out and try and do everything. And we give you a product that's not great at anything, but it does have everything. And uh-huh. Now we're seeing a shift to like best in class, where you all of a sudden can go work with a great labor scheduling company, and you can work with a great analytics company. You can have a great predictive forecasting company, and you can have a great COGS management company. And, you know, you can have all of these things integrate and work together.
That's awesome. Good. Well, so tell me what's next for you and ClearCogs?
You know what? reaching as many customers as we can and working with as many operators as we can, and, you know, finding new and creative ways to solve their problems. And like I said, every restaurant's different, which is so much fun because, you know, as we go into each new concept, we get to learn a new way of, you know, solving it. We get to learn new ways of, you know, managing food waste. And it's, so what's next for us is hopefully working with a lot more customers and, you know, cutting a lot more waste.
That's awesome. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And I hope you keep us posted as you grow and divert more. And we'd love to hear more about your story as you go.
Yeah, I hope we're kind of like silently just, you know, reducing food waste. Nobody even knows that it's going away.
Right.
Yeah, we're a behind the scenes, low touch, just like, you know, I cut it back.
Well, I think that's great. And to your point, efficiency is everything, right? If you can optimize efficiency in multiple places, everybody wins. And it just so happens that it will reduce the food waste and help them be more profitable. So what's not to like?
Yeah, what's interesting is, so there's a lot of redistribution companies out there that we've begun talking with. And, uh-huh. you know, they get a really inconsistent flow of food waste just because, you know, restaurants don't manage their prep very well, or at least there's ways to improve it. And so with using a system like ours, you end up having waste. It's a lower amount, but it's also a more consistent amount, which allows for a whole lot more predictability and optimal allocation for these redistribution companies.
Oh, I bet. My goodness.
It's just funny how, like, you would think, you know, we're trying to cut over prep, they're using over prep to repurpose, we'd be at odds. And it's just funny how there's so many synergies in when it comes to food waste.
Oh, I bet. Well, you're doing great things. I love to hear that. And is there anything else you want to share before I let you go? I know how busy you are.
No. I appreciate you having us on. And, you know, feel free to visit the website, clearcogs.com. That's COGS, COGS. Stands for cost of goods sold for everybody that's not in the restaurant industry.
Awesome. Well, nice work, Matt. Keep it up. And we look forward to following your journey.
Liz, you're the best. Thanks for your time. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you. And hope to chat soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.